Blog Talk Radio.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
Radio. You are now tuning in to Accidentally Spiritual with energy healer and comedian Jessica Brodkin. She has a special guest today, Michael. So here is Jessica.
Hi, welcome to the show today. I'm very excited to be here. We have an awesome, awesome guest. This is an interview series of called Accidentally Spiritual, where we interview people who have come, and this is this station called Journey into the Light. So this is interviewing people who use spirituality in their everyday and to share their wonderful stories. Philip Michael is our guest today. He is a real estate fund manager, tech investor, and media personality. Please welcome Philip Michael. Philip, can we hear you? I can't hear. Hello?
Hello,
okay,
can you hear me?
Problem. Yes, now I can hear you. Hi.
Okay, yes, thank you for having me.
Awesome. Thanks for being here. We're very, very excited to have you. And, so you have an amazing, amazing background. Philip has been featured in quite a few magazines and actually used to have your own radio show on Sirius. Is that right?
Yes, I did.
So we have somebody who has a lot of experience in media. And so, Philip, please tell us, like, how did you come into spirituality in your life?
It was really odd. I always felt like there was something, like a deeper form of intuition that I had when
mm-hmm.
I was younger that I couldn't quite
mm-hmm.
explain. Just this natural inclination, and I sort of just started cultivating it later. Came across the concept of the law of attraction. I remember watching The Secret, and it sort of put into words what I already intuitively lived by. And that's sort of when I started understanding on a more conscious, logical level that I started using it more in my life to a greater degree than I was already doing in a way that I couldn't really understand.
Right. Right. So when did you – so you basically since you were a little kid, you've been using this.
Yes, but I didn't quite understand. I just knew it was certain things that I wouldn't – certain mindset and certain things that I would, like, hate to say tap into, but I didn't quite understand it. And I started understanding it around 10 years ago, 2008, 2009, thereabout.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, awesome. So you watched the movie The Secret. You were one of my kind of favorite manifestors in terms of your manifestation exercises, because you've really changed your life around from, like, so can you tell us your story about how you came to this country?
All right. So I came first when I was a teenager for high school, but since I moved here permanently, I came for business school, and something happened when I was supposed to get, because I'm from Denmark, they're supposed to give you a one-year working visa. And the school, I hate to, like, point blame or anything, but I was supposed to get sent paperwork that was never sent to me. And what ended up happening was the deadline expired, and I had to go through the normal process of obtaining a visa. And in between that, I was armed with all this education, and I couldn't make any money. So when I came to New York, if I left the country, I would be barred from reentry for 10 years. So,
oh my God.
So if I was like, and my family wanted me to come home, and we talked about stuff, Jessica, off the air also about how other people may not see in you what you, they may not see who you are. And so my family was adamant that I come home and just work in one of my dad's companies and do that. I was like, that's not what I want to do. I want to sort of blaze my own trail. So I ended up coming to New York. I only had like $79 left. So I figured, okay, if I run out, I'll just have to bite the bullet and jump on the plane and come home, which honestly then I thought it would be like, honestly, it was like it would almost be worse than death, honestly, because I feel like I failed myself. But so I had money for 4 days. I somehow ended up with the radio show. I was invited on as a guest, and the next day they asked me to host a segment, which led to having a show. And then that led to a sort of an off-the-books, I'm not going to throw the person under the bus, but an off-the-books work opportunity that later led to me getting involved with the real estate industry. I then found a job as my visa application, the whole process was playing out, and it ended up with, without getting into too much detail, that that I could, because my big goal was to get involved in the real estate industry. I ended up becoming first a national editor for the biggest real estate publication in North America, and then
was
I became
that Bigger Pockets?
That was called BizNow. BizNow Media is the biggest commercial real estate news source in North America, and so I moved my way up, worked my way up to director of content strategy, and then the company sold. So then I moved on, and I tried to find a deal. There's a guy that I know who has, he manages a big fund, and I was trying to raise money for a deal that I wanted to do. It was only about it may have been $200,000. I don't know, but I was trying to. I was trying to raise the money, and I thought the numbers looked great, and he turned me down. I didn't get why. And so I kept on bothering him. He said, well, if you can find them of a bigger size, because the way that big funds work, they don't waste their time with small deals like that. He's like, if you can find it on a bigger scale, I'll commit X amount. I think he said $6 million to invest in those type of deals. Then I did find them, and then that number grew to – then he committed $21 million. Then I ended up raising a fund, and – and here we are, I guess. And in between all that, I ended up somehow getting on television, getting involved with television, hosting shows on television. And I really don't have any experience in either radio or I have a background in journalism, written journalism, but television, radio, and then real estate. And I ended up not using any of my degrees for anything. So that's really it's really an odd story. Yeah,
I don't use my degrees for anything anymore because. I did go to MIT, but I ended up majoring in political science, so I feel like I went to the Olympics for Sudoku. really, just,
right.
I just It really just feels like, yeah, and I have a degree in applied economics from Hopkins. Now I'm an energy healer. Great.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many amazing things about your story. One is that you really had a broke to successful in, like, I don't know, a day kind of situation or within a week. And I really, really love that. And the other thing is that I haven't met, and I think that there's a big kind of disconnect for a lot of people who,
mm-hmm.
who are spiritual, between kind of having abundance, making money, feeling like that they are taken care of financially, and also
mm-hmm.
a lot of people feel like that's not a very spiritual path. So I find that really there's so many interesting things about you. One is like how quickly you manifest. Two is that you stay so clear, because I know you well. Your energy is so clear with all of your success. It's really very cool. So how do you kind of keep your energy how do you keep your energy clear, so to speak?
Okay, all right. So one thing that I
me.
Right. Well, one thing that's actually, and this will actually be, this might be controversial. Some people may think I'm a jerk for saying this, but so I grew up. So my mother's black and my father's white. So I grew up with my black grandmother, who sort of taught
mm-hmm.
me, like, gave me a lot of tools, because she thought there would be a ceiling, ceiling on what I could accomplish. So she gave me a lot of tools, taught me how to do all sorts of stuff that I didn't really want to do: play violin, piano, read a bunch.
Really?
Yeah. Just odd stuff. I wanted to be out and play soccer and stuff. But at the same time, where my grandmother came from, she came from the apartheid system in South Africa, which is the reason she even had to. They got run out of the country. So she naturally had this inferiority about who she was as a black person. And that really so when I ended up moving with my dad, who doesn't read quite as much, he doesn't really care about education, but he's a very successful businessman. And one of the things he really instilled in me was the attitude of, and I think he's very connected, like, spiritually. I just think he's in denial about it. But
mm-hmm.
what he really instilled in me is the attitude of optimism, always believing you can do it. The word "can't" we don't use that. That's a curse word. He said whenever there's something, he's like, he always goes, he has a mantra. It's Danish. It'll be hard for me to sort of translate, but it basically means
mm-hmm.
I can and I will. And say that over and over. It instilled the attitude that nothing really is as impossible. So that also instilled being always having a positive outlook on things, and that sort of just carried me through. I always had naturally had a positive outlook, no matter what happened. I would always take the good for the situation. So that helps me stay clear. Another thing is accountability. Always being accountable for what happens to you, because that eliminates the whole thing of holding grudges or blaming other
mm-hmm.
people for what happens to you. So that eliminates a great degree of being angry with people. So I'm not angry. I don't ever really get angry. So that's one way I stay clear, because
are you suppressing your anger, or you really don't feel it?
No, of course I feel what everybody else feels, but I process it extremely quickly, and I'm very detached from it. Like,
so you move
like,
through the anger, because I couldn't get in touch with anger for a really long time. And I ended up realizing that I just wouldn't allow myself to get angry. I could only be happy or sad. So
interesting.
But that's cool that you moved through it. That's great.
Yeah, it's not like the way it works. It's almost an attachment to petty issues. I really don't even get involved with it. Like discussions about politics that get people emotionally charged, I really don't even get involved with it. That helps your energy stay clear, because you don't get a lot of needless filth
that's
in your energy
funny.
System.
That's very funny.
So,
positive, don't talk politics.
Perfect soundbite. Key to happiness right there. But yeah, so that's sort of the thing. That's how I stay clear. And also, if people have bad, you know, if I've mentioned this to you off the air, if people have a bad attitude, a bad energy, I don't get caught up in it, because it's infectious, you know. And misery loves company, so I stay the hell away from misery. And that's really it.
I mean, I have a hard time doing that, because I clear people's energy for my
job. Right. Yeah.
But
it becomes a little harder.
Like it's a little harder for me. But that's because I just, like, I'm like, bring me your – I'm like the Statue of Liberty of energy healers. Bring me your tired, your poor, your miserable.
Right.
But no, so you watch your company, watch the company you keep. I think that's important.
Extremely closely.
Watch the company you keep. Because I think that one thing that one of the key I happen to know our guest fairly well, and so I feel like I have gotten to observe or sort of figure out what I think your keys to success are, and one of them that I think helps with manifesting is obviously using the, besides just the law of attraction,
mm-hmm.
which people who are not in the spiritual space think it's about men and women, which it's not. For us, it's just about things similar.
Right.
Right. Right. But the truth is that you're really very close about your vibration.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you used to interview, right? Didn't you interview a lot of very successful business people?
Right. Okay. So the way that I wanted to, I was up here, the job that I got, which was very, it was humbling in a way that I needed to, because over where I was before, I don't want to say I had a chip on my shoulder, but I was a little, mm-hmm. very much less polished. I figured, okay, I got this degree of education. I should make this, almost like a big ego, but not in a healthy way. You know, I was like, okay, entitled is the word I'm looking for. And feeling entitled. And that's something I then knew that I want to get rid of this feeling. So I really just feel like I attracted this circumstance to help rid this from my from my consciousness. But yes, to answer your question, what I did was because I figured I had to get immersed in the real estate industry, and it was very intimidating, mm-hmm. having a lack of knowledge, being from another country, being the youngest, looking the way I look. So for people don't hear, I have brown skin and long dreadlocks. That's hardly the prototypical look of a real estate
piercing.
Mogul. Lip piercing in my lip. Yeah, it's a little. So, but I figured, I also understood that if you have media platforms, you can pretty much get in the room with anybody, because they always like to tell their story or push their product and do it in a way that they can control. And I'm not the type. I never was the type of writer that would be out to get you. I couldn't care less about winning a Pulitzer. Meant nothing to me. It just was a tool to get close to people. So I would, and it was really an amazing thing. I would interview them and had the opportunity to sit with them, socialize with them, and pick their brains. So that's really what allowed me to absorb some of their, you know, the principles, the thinking, the blueprints, and until it just became second nature that I belonged in that type of around the table with people like that. So yes, that's one way. That was one way I did it, just to be close to
but
them.
But also, like, just from a vibrational standpoint, if you think about physics and vibration,
mm-hmm,
you are
mm-hmm.
around people of a certain vibration. Your vibration matches theirs.
Right, and I truly believe you become your environment. So I had to,
mm-hmm.
I had to create that environment, and that was a little more of a challenge when when I was in that predicament where I couldn't work, essentially the equivalent of someone who had jumped the border. That's not what I did. Everything was legal, but you know, that was in terms of my rights, you know, I really couldn't mm-hmm. do anything. So that was just one way to get around them without the current reality, matching theirs yet. In my mind it did, but it didn't at the time. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the way of doing it. Yeah.
Very cool. Very, very cool. So what specific advice do you have to people who are manifesting? I personally know how you do this, but for our listeners, what kind of advice do you have for your manifesting?
Yes, you do. All right. So one thing I do, and I tell everybody this, is goal setting, because it helps on so many levels. Because some people mm-hmm. never put down like I saw a study that it's only a small percentage of people that write goals, and that same percentage, there's a big correlation between that small percentage and the people who employ others, i.e. the people who don't set goals. So that one is a huge thing. It gives you clarity. Another thing is it allows you to – you can basically make the choice of who you want to be that way. Okay, who do you – who? What is the future you? You can – by putting the pen to paper, you can transform that future you into your current you. It sounds sort of weird, but it's really what it does from a subconscious mind cannot tell the difference. So once that become natural, you also trigger, you know, the law of attraction, and then it just eventually manifests, as long as you believe. And I was writing certain things 2014,
2015. For a record, so, Michael, you set your goals every day, correct?
Yes, I do. I write them every day.
So,
and the thing is – yes, write them in the present tense in a quantifiable meaning. I do XYZ by a certain date. You know, some people think
so
it goes like out. Yeah,
right.
Order. I'm giving an order. It's like this is you're co-conspiring with God in a way. If this does really,
right.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And some people think, oh, I want to be rich. That's not a goal. That's a fantasy. Because and then some people say,
What does that mean?
Yeah, it means absolutely nothing. It's filth. But if you said something, if you quantify it, then that becomes a direct order, like you said, to the universe, and then it eventually obeys. And so that's one thing that I do. And one thing I came across, actually, while talking to you and talking to a family member, was actually visualizing it, not just writing it down, because once you write it down and it feels natural to you, okay, it's going to manifest. But one thing I realized a couple of weeks ago that can make the manifesting happen so much quicker is if you actually visualize the goals. A couple of scenarios. One is this this new apartment that I'm moving into. I visualize it, and I visualize what it would be like walking up there, locking myself out, inviting my family out, just regular things that even would frustrate you in your daily life, not to make it give it a bad vibration, but just so it would seem so real on so many levels. And once I just feel it real, it's like almost a surge comes through your body. I go on to the next one. It takes a little longer to do it, but after doing this, so many things just that you would think of just don't even make sense, just flow into your life. And it almost sounds unbelievable. If I would really recommend people try it, and they will see a matter of fact, I will take bets. People can hit me up on Twitter. It's Philip_Michael. If you do this and it doesn't work, I'll buy you dinner for a week. That's an open challenge. Yeah, yeah. Not you. Anybody.
For a week? I'm kidding.
Yeah, but that's like that's how I believe. That's how I believe. You know, that's how strongly I believe in that stuff. If you know, so that's one thing I would recommend. That's how you would manifest. Just you know, because once you visualize it, it becomes real, and you can't tell the difference. And that's when you believe, and then it happens. Manifestation becomes inevitable. It really does.
So. Here's another question. Can you manifest? This is a lot of people ask. Can you manifest for other people?
I don't know. Because if you don't believe, I'm not going to. If another person doesn't believe, I'm not going to bother. I don't know. Perhaps, but I don't know. In my world, I doubt it. In my world, I doubt it because I wouldn't even try. And my mind is close
to that. You wouldn't
do that. Yeah, no. But I don't know. Do you think so?
I think it's hard to impose on the will of others.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing that is maybe difficult is like, what if a kid is sick or something? You know what I mean? Someone who can't manifest on his own yet, like a small kid or something like that.
Right.
So, but a lot of people do want to manifest for other people. I mean, that's why people will say, I pray for you or stuff like that, right?
Yeah, I suppose so. I suppose so. Yeah, I guess when you look at it like that, I suppose one of my what we call it goals, but really manifestation orders, I guess they can affect others in a way, but I don't know if it's manifesting for others directly. That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think you can manifest like I manifest that I'm going to touch more of this many people, touch their lives, change their lives. But it's hard to maybe manifest for a specific person. It's also the thing that I find really challenging. I'm really into manifestation now, and I've been in it and then not in it for a while. But one thing is also to release the attachment from the outcome. Deepak Chopra talks about manifesting a lot, and he says that, you know, you can set a goal, set an intention, set a date. I think setting a date is really amazing. But then you release the attachment to that outcome. And
yes,
that's a very
absolutely.
Eastern philosophical idea. And I think it's very hard for Westerners to grab, myself included, to fully grasp what releasing attachment means.
Right. Overthink. It's embedded in the culture. Overthinking,
yeah.
That makes it. So it's counterintuitive to the whole how we've been thought to think, but it's really just – when some people do actually, when I talk to, they do the goals. They start thinking about how. What do I have to do to work on it today? And I say, just like you said, release the attachment to the, you know, to the outcome. And if you get married to the outcome, that will shift your vibration also.
Right, because then you're holding on.
Doubt will creep in, and all sorts of vibrations you don't really need.
Another thing that is really exciting about you, we're kind of wrapping up soonish, but I think most of the listeners on this channel are female, are women, and they have a hard time perhaps like talking about spirituality, manifesting, et cetera, with their, with their significant others, with their male significant others. So what kind of advice, if you have any, for women who want to, since you're clearly a man and a successful business guy, how should women approach spirituality with their significant others?
In terms of on a communication level or just bring in the topic?
Bring up whichever way you want to take it. You could talk about communication. You could talk about bringing it up.
Okay. I mean, honestly, no. I try to – I'm a very simple guy. Like, if someone gets it, they get it. If they don't, I really just release myself from it. But to bring it – I don't know. Watch The Secret with them? I don't know. I mean, to make sure you communicate on the same wavelength, because a lot of the in my experience and what I see is – a lot of miscommunication happens when people's needs and desires when people speak past each other. So just make sure they're on the same page and listen to what people are really saying. And sometimes people might say something in anger, but what they're really doing is it's something deeper. So try to understand where the other person is coming from. Listen. A lot of people don't listen well, you know, and that's. I really think that would be it. I think if you can listen to really what anyone that you engage with or your partner is saying, if you can listen to them, then that would solve a lot of the whatever issues there are. If you just listen and understand one another, but to bring more spirituality in, it's hard to say. I like we just talked about, what I always recommend is trying the goals, and once they see the impact it has, that should make them believers right there, that there is something. That there's something more to tap into, you know?
I think I've read so many books on the subject, and the one that I just finished, which is an oldie but goodie, is called E Squared. It's called Nine Do It Yourself by Pam Grout, and it's Nine Do It Yourself, kind of like experiments that prove that your thoughts create your reality. It's a really cool book. It's also written kind of silly. And there's an audio book. It's a number one New York Times bestseller. There's so many New York Times bestsellers. I'm like, are they number one for 5 minutes? Like, I don't understand. I'm number one for 3.5 seconds. But it's called E Squared. Yep, energy experiments. Very, very cool. But
check that out.
Yeah. So I just wanted to ask you, what would you like to, where can people find you? How can they contact you? What would you like to promote? I know you have so many things going on. I don't even know which of your million projects you would like to,
I have a new software. Well, I'm investing in a couple of companies. I'll leave them up to you for now. But one thing I'm doing, I'm coming out with a new software. It should be coming out in the next 2 weeks. It's called NYDAX. It's basically a software that helps people who are not as good with finances, that don't have the financial background, to tools to go out and make real estate deals, go out and make sound financial investments. And it's something you can find. Yes. It's just a software. Say if you find a real estate deal, you can put it into the software. You can log on, type it in there. And then it'll tell you exactly how much money you're going to make and how much money you have to invest and how it works. See, the real estate industry is very particular. It's not a lot of – of course, the market goes up and it goes down, but valuations in real estate is based on the rental income it generates. That's something that never changes. So those are some of the things that it looks at. And if you find a deal and you need funding for the right deal, we would actually fund the deal with you. So
that's – oh, my God.
Yes, so that's actually.
So can you
just go out?
What is the name of it? NYDAX.
NYEGAX. So, and my website is nyeg.co, nyeg.co, and it's going to be available on there. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter, Philip, PHILIP underscore Michael. And yeah, just hit me up there, and it should be coming out. It's It should be announced. It should hit the presses in the next few weeks. So there's stuff prepared.
So it should be
coming up. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
and of course,
thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. Anytime.
And this was really interesting and really amazing. And good luck with all of your projects. I look forward to catching up later. Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica. You too. All right. Bye.
Bye. And that's our show this evening. Thank you so much for tuning in to Accidentally Spiritual.